Hello and welcome to another chat. I'm out and about again today, marching up a hill. On a rather more wintry day today. It's kind of overcast and a bit grey and a bit of a cool breeze. I've just been watching a buzzard being chased away by a couple of huge crows. So they don't like birds of prey on their patch. They tend to chase them off, and sometimes they mob them. They sort of, you know, keep diving at them. Even though the buzzards are bigger than the crows, but they sort of, I suppose they're quite vulnerable. And up on the wings, crows have got big old beaks. Go at them a bit. I've got my recorder out quicker. You might have heard them. Ooh. There's a magpie. Got a lot of those around here. Anyway, what day is it? It's Tuesday, the Czech's watch 18th. I think it was the Blue Monday that people call it. So that Monday in January that sort of marks the fact that you're kind of still trudging through January and Christmas is a distant memory and winter is still here in this part of the world, but I don't know. It doesn't seem particularly bad to me. I'm very glad that the days are getting longer. Very pleased to see that. So that's good as far as I'm concerned. Don't mind a bit of cold. I'm from further north, from Yorkshire anyway, so North Yorkshire, so I'm kind of used to winters. I grew up with winters that were a lot colder than this. I need to have quite cold, crisp winters. That's what I remember anyway. Down here in the southwest, it's kind of a warmer, more rainy kind of climate. So mud is what we have to get used to. But we've had some nice frosts and clear skies and things. So that's been nice. An amazing full moon. The other day, I tried to photograph it with my phone, but it never comes out when you try and take a picture of the moon, it seems. Okay, so here's me and Lottie going on our usual route. She's off busy sniffing in the grass at the moment. There would have been some pheasants around, I'm sure. I've mentioned before, probably the local farmer has a shoot. Seems to be about once a week, so it was yesterday. There was lots of bangs going off in the distance. I can see him down below. Some up on a hill, I can see him down on his little sort of utility vehicle going through the fields. Don't know what he's doing. Maybe he has to feed the birds or something. But anyway, what do you like sniffing after the pheasants? Seems to have a magpie circling around me today. Anyway, one for sorrow, hope not. It's funny all the superstitions, isn't there, about magpies. Some people salute them. Some people do various things to ward off the magic. I don't know why people have this thing about them. Perhaps because they steal things and they steal chicks and eggs and things out of nests. I don't know. It's often regarded as pests. But yeah, I was listening to the audiobook of the Valley of Lies, and it's gone back to the narrator to sort of correct little tweaks, little things that I found when I was listening. So hopefully they'll all be sorted out soon and the audiobook will be going out. And it just reminded me of parts of the story, because it's a while since I wrote it now. And I sort of talk about some of the little things that I've done which kind of go against the received wisdom of a lot of mysteries. For one thing that sort of struck my ear, I was listening, I'd kind of forgotten I'd done it, is that Mustn't do spoilers in case you haven't read it. So in general terms, in mysteries, people are often not terribly upset about the things that are going on. I'm not sure if I mentioned this in an earlier chat, but of course, somebody being killed, especially deliberately, you know, murdered, is a dreadful, dreadful thing, and it's quite rare. Most of us will go through life without ever having experienced it. And much as, you know, my book's on the cosy end of the crime spectrum, I still think that the characters, if they're going to be sort of believable characters, will be really upset at these things happening. And I think we've had years of being conditioned to the sort of rather stiff upper lip, Agatha Christie sort of, Jeeves has been found dead. Oh, obviously. Sort of thing. He owes me £5, the blighter. People aren't terribly upset with things, and you know, they get called in for questioning. And in those older mysteries, they were, you know, questioned with due deference by the inspector in the drawing room or in the library. I'll see you in the library. I need to ask you a few things. And we've sort of come to expect some of those things, the various sort of degrees of outrage people would have had, you know, in those mysteries. And there's a character in Valley of Lies, one of the main characters, who's rather shaken, he's rather upset. I've given away that it's a male, but I won't tell you who it is. And I put that in quite deliberately because I come to believe in my characters, I guess, and I think that character would have been really quite shaken and upset, because being hauled off for questioning is not a nice thing. I haven't had much in the way of dealings with the real police in my life, thank goodness. Never anything that drastic, you know, but it's something most of us don't like to think about. It's a bit like, going to hospitals and things. Lots of us have probably negative associations with that. But, So that's something that's a bit different in the Devonshire Mysteries. I think that the characters are kind of affected more by what goes on than happens in some mysteries. Obviously, I haven't read them all. I haven't read every crime novel going or every mystery going by a long chalk, but certainly I think those things need to be in there. I think readers like that kind of detail. I think they deserve it. So, it's the kind of thing I work hard to put in. It's kind of about rethinking the genre without throwing the baby out with the bathwater. There are lots of wonderful things about the genre, and it's staying true to those while also staying true to the way I want to tell the story and staying true to my characters. So I hope that makes sense. I thought it's worth kind of mentioning. And I do try to show other sides of characters as time goes on. So in the book I'm writing at the moment, we get to see a bit more of Spiller. He comes in Valley of Lies, and we'll see a mystery in May as well, Spiller and Collins. And so he's back again. Well, they are both back again in this new book, which still hasn't got a title. And he's still rather taking its time coming together. I had a bit of a brainwave the other day about how to sort of tie it up, and I hope that's going to work out. I've struggled recently with one huge chunk that what I did was I used this very recording device to dictate some sections while I was walking the dog, and I've done it before and it's worked out okay. I then have a program which can read that audio file and turn it into text. Problem is, when I come to look at it again, not just the errors and the wrong words and things that have been transcribed by the program, but the sequence of events in the story obviously wasn't clear in my mind. It was a bit like I was thinking aloud, and so everything was muddled and in the wrong order in a way that I would not do if I was typing it out, because typing being so much slower, it kind of gives you time to think as you go, whereas when you're speaking, unless you know kind of pretty much exactly what's going to happen, I think it can be a bit of a disaster. So it's probably taken me longer to unpick it than it would have done if I just sat down and typed it in the first place. That's my feeling at the moment. So yeah, that's been a frustrating few days, and I've still got some of that to untangle. I don't know. You've got to keep trying new things and different ways of working, and sometimes, you know, you do something a bit differently and it shakes something loose and you kind of think, great, now I'm, you know, I'm on a roll, and away you go. Because it's no good sort of staring at the blank page going, I'm stuck. You've got to try something. So, yeah, this story is, it's going to be a long one. Now, I've got to avoid the temptation to do kind of homeward bounders is what I call them, which is, I may have mentioned it ages ago. I heard it someone once in a drama. They were talking about somebody who was cheating on their stitching. Had to stitch up something, I can't remember what, and they'd done a lot of what they called homeward bounders, which are great big stitches to get the job done, but, you know, in obviously in an unsatisfactory way, and would all have to be redone. So it's kind of how I think of them. It's stuck in my mind, that phrase. And every now and then I kind of find myself doing something that would sort of skip ahead in the story but miss out too much detail. That and often a sign is that we'd have to have kind of a character explaining a bit of the backstory kind of thing. I don't really like that. I'd rather just put it in. I do it sometimes in limited ways. If I think it would be a kind of... there's a guy called Sean Coyne describes them as shoe leather scenes, which is where somebody just goes from place to place, basically, not doing anything very significant or saying anything very significant. So sometimes I skip those, and, you know, we'll find somebody's already at somewhere, and that they might think back over something that led them there, or they might refer to it in a bit of conversation. But you don't want to do that to sort of take shortcuts in any kind of major way, because I think that kind of cheats the reader on a bit of detail and a bit of motivation. It's a balancing act, really, between what goes in and what you leave out. I try not to put in padding. I like to think that even if a bit of conversation seems sort of trivial, might be a bit of kind of banter or something, then it tells you something about the relationship between the characters. Maybe it tells you that it's changed in some way, hopefully. You know, so if a bit of, come on, Lottie, we're not going all the way around again. Come on. She just stood there looking hopefully at me. She looks very sort of pleading in her eyes. I think she maybe wants me to throw a ball for her. Okay, Lottie. Anyway, I think I've probably rambled on and covered the point I was going to say. I better go and see what Lottie's up to. I'm going towards her now and she's walking away as if we're going around the whole field twice, which isn't really going to happen just now. So I'll lob a ball about for her a bit. Bless her. She still likes to play a bit, even though she's getting on in years. Keeps her young, I guess. Okay, well, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you very much for listening, taking the time to listen. You can subscribe to it wherever you get podcasts, if that's your thing. And thank you very much for all your support and encouragement, all your emails and messages. Big thank you to anyone who has sent me a mug of tea on the coffee.com, using the coffee.com button on my site that says, you know, send me a mug of tea. All those contributions add up, and they make a difference. And plus, they're also very encouraging. I'll get some nice little messages as well, because you can leave a message when you send me a mug of tea, and I always reply to those You should, I think they send you an email. I believe they send you an email when I do a reply. So I've been doing that, and I hope I haven't missed anybody. I try not to. It can be difficult to see who's done what when and from the dashboard that they give me. But, you know, I do try to keep on top of it. And it's all very much appreciated, as are all your reviews and ratings and all that kind of thing. And if you tell somebody you've enjoyed one of the books, that's wonderful. That's the kind of thing I really like to hear about. And I do like to hear from you guys as well. I do like to get emails. And I'll keep on, you know, recording chats and posting photos and stuff. And you get the most out of those by joining the site at michaelcampling.com, which is free and should be quick. There's over 400 people there now who've signed up. So that's quite nice. And then it allows you to see all the photos, get any exclusive content that there is from time to time, and you get to leave comments as well, which you're welcome to do. So there's lots of ways to get in touch with me if you want to ask me a question, or if there's anything you'd like me to talk about in these chats. So depends where you're viewing this from, but if you get the newsletter, you can reply to any newsletter. You can email me at Mikey at michaelcampling.com, or you can go to my website, which is michaelcampling.com, and you know, various social media and Twitter things. I'm usually fairly easy to find. My name is usually Mikey Campling on social media. There's a Facebook page, which is something like Michael Campling Author. So they're a bit various, but you can link them all from my site. My site is the best place to go for information and updates and all that kind of thing. All right, so I hope you're well, and take care, look after yourselves, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.